Do you love Chihuahuas? Maybe you're wondering if the Chihuahua is the right dog for you.
Perhaps you have a training or a behaviour struggle.
Barking.
Reactivity.
Aggression.
Toileting in the house.
Are you wondering how to socialise your tiny Chihuahua puppy?
Well, look no further.
Here you will find expert opinions, honest views, guest interviews by leading experts in the canine industry, and
training and behaviour advice by two qualified, experienced and professional dog trainers who specialise in small breeds. I'm Kate.
And I'm Hayley. And this is the Chihuahua Podcast. Hello, everyone. Hi. We are back again with another episode of the Chihuahua Podcast. Hello, Kate. How are you? My name's Hayley, by the way. How are you, Kate?
Hello, Hayley. I'm also good. Thank you.
Oh, we've got the giggles now. In this episode, we thought, or it was actually, I think it was my idea, actually, but we thought we'd talk about, only because I'm reading this book, I thought we'd talk about training time-saving hacks. Because we always bang on about, oh, you must train your dog, Chihuahua, you know, everyone should really be training their dogs. But a lot of people think that they don't have time.
No. What book are you reading?
And the reason why I wanted to talk about this in this episode was because I'm really into productivity at the moment and habit forming and all that sort of stuff. And how can I be more productive? How can I get more done in the day? So I'm reading Atomic Habits by James Clear. I know it's a lot of people have already read this, but it's a really, really good book. And the international bestseller, Atomic Habits. And it's basically, it's an easy and proven way to build good habits and break bad ones. Tiny changes make remarkable results. So it's all about creating little habits that eventually lead to big results and for big projects and stuff, like, for example, writing a book, or, you know, doing a big project on your house, or training your dog. You know, because, you know, training our dogs is quite a big project, really, because there's so much we can do. But it's like, how do we fit it in? How do we do this? How do we do this work? And it's a really good book. So I've been following a couple of sort of things from this book. And I thought that we'd talk about productivity and how we can help you guys put some plans together in terms of little hacks and stuff to train your dog in an easy way.
Sounds good.
That makes sense. So we've got three. Well, I've got three.
You have. Just an audience member in this episode.
First of all, Kate, when do you train your dogs? When do you manage to train your dogs?
I train my dogs while I'm with them, which is all the time. For me, training happens all the time while you're with them. You're always reinforcing something. Sometimes I'll have little sessions, like when I'm in my office, I'll just have little 5-minute sessions with them. And then other times I'll have big sessions, like more in the summer when we do some agility stuff with them. I'll do more with them then. That sounds like I don't do anything with them in the winter, but I do, because I'm doing stuff with them all the time when I'm with them.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. And I'm kind of the same, because a dog doesn't stop learning. Doesn't stop learning when we finish a training session, does it? Learning is happening, like you say, learning is happening all the time. So I guess the first hack that I can talk about is a little game called Smart 50. Do you know what I'm going to talk about?
No.
Smart 50. A Smart 50 is a bit like, it's like you would capture nice behavior. Okay, so Smart 50 was devised by, it's a little game devised by a lady called Kathy Sadeo. I'm holding the book up here. And she's written a book called Plenty in Life is Free. It's a really, really nice book. It's quite old now, but a few years old, I guess. And it's Plenty in Life is Free, Reflections on Dogs, Training and Finding Grace. And it's a really lovely, it's a very small book, but it's packed full of information. And it's all about positive reinforcement and stuff. And one of the games in this, one of the little exercises, is a game called Smart 50. And it's all about being productive and time saving with your dog, right? And basically doing this thing where your dog's always learning. It's not just in training sessions. So how Smart 50 works is, you would basically take the SMART stands for, first of all, See, Mark and Reward Training. Okay. And the 50 or the 25 or whatever number you want to put at the end of that is how many treats you have in the day. So it's your daily treat allowance. So, for example, you could take like 25 pieces of your dog's dried food or kibble, pop it in a pot, and then you get rid of those 25 pieces of kibble throughout the day by marking with a marker or saying good boy or whatever you want to do, and feeding the piece of food want to see more of. For example, eye contacts, lying down on, you know, dog lying down on their own, you know, choosing a mat and lying down there, or sitting for something, or coming back away from something, or on a walk, you know, disengaging away from another dog, whatever the behavior is that you would like to see more of in your dog, you can actually start to mold that behavior using this particular little capturing exercise. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I really like that. Yeah, that is essentially, that's how I live with
it's
my
capturing
dogs.
Yeah,
yeah, because like at dinner time, when I eat dinner in the evening, and they know that to go and lie on their places because I reward them for doing that. It's not something that I've been like, right, I'm going to train. Well, I probably did at some point, but I reward them throughout the day for the things that I like.
And me, I'm always like, for example, I'll ask Bo to do something like sit, for example. And then Kiri, I feed Bo the treat. Kiri doesn't go for the treat that I've given Bo. She'll just stand back. So I'll reward Kiri at the same time. Sounds a bit weird, but like I'll reward Kiri for not coming, you know, grabbing Bo's treat or standing back or whatever. And I'll reward that her for that as well. So 50 times each day, reward your dog when he's doing something useful or cute or, you know, wanted. It's concrete and it's simple, so you're cultivating nice behaviors throughout with your dog throughout the day. So if you have, like, for example, I mean, I think probably 50 for me, for a lot of my clients, that would be like, oh my god, I've got to get rid of 50 treats. Can we do 25? Can we halve that? And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. If you end up with 10, that's fine. At least you've done 50, you've rewarded 15 reps of behaviors that you want to see more of. And guess what? If you do that every single day, well, in a couple of weeks, you are going to have a better behaved dog.
Definitely.
It's just logical, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes what I'll do is I will take half of their food allowance and put that in a pot. And then I carry the pots around wherever I am in the house. And just like, I'll put a pot by wherever I'm sitting. And then give them half of their daily food. I don't do that very often, but sometimes I will do that. So they get half of their daily food allowance as rewards for things.
Yeah, it's not about giving them extra. You can, like Kate says, you can use their dried food or take a portion out for this particular exercise. I like to call them reward stations. So you could take the 25 and just pop a few in various pots and put them up high in each room, so you've always got one in each room, like a little reward station. So if you see that your dog doing something nice over there, you can go, oh yes, or good boy, or whatever, and reach for the food and then calmly give it to your dog. So that's sort of how you do that. Of course, it doesn't help when your dog barks at the reward station sometimes, that when it happens with clients, but
well, you do what works for your dog, don't you?
You do what works. Yeah, exactly. SMART 25, See, Mark and Reward Training. Now, we're not going to talk about markers today, but you just basically, even if you saw something your dog liked, you said good boy, you reached for the treats, gave your dog a piece of food, that's a rep, that's a reward or a payment. It's almost like currency, isn't it? So it's a bit like giving your dog a pound coin every time they do something really nice. You're paying your dog all the time throughout the day. Your dog's not going to, you know, turn away a pound coin. He's going to start to do the stuff that, like, well, how did I get that pound coin last time? Oh, I'll do that again.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually a really good time-saving hack, because it's just you doing whatever you do throughout the day, isn't it? You're just being with your dogs.
It's absolutely perfect for, like, you don't have to think about doing a training session because you're doing it throughout the day anyway. You just have to remember to mark the behavior and feed the dog a treat. And you're not thinking about what the dog's going to do either. The dog's just going to do it. You're going to notice it. It's all about noticing what your dog's doing and then feeding appropriately.
Feeding what you like.
Yeah. So that's the first one. Then everyone can do that. I mean, everyone can do all three. But the second one, I've kind of made this up, but I quite like it. It's called the 5 second five treat hack. And it's for these people, and sometimes it's me included, where we are spending too much time on our phones or TV, mainly phones. And we're scrolling and we get stuck on our phones and we know we should be doing something else, but we're watching cat videos or dog videos or something. And we're just doom scrolling and scrolling, 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 and really wasting a lot of time on our phones. So what I thought about was finding a way of getting off your phone and going and training a dog, and then going back on your phone if you want to, but at least you've trained your dog. So I did a reel on this, didn't I, a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
So what I want you to do is, if you're scrolling on your phone and you think, I must do something, but I can't get off my phone, I'm literally stuck in this scrolling kind of thing. Yeah. So I want you to start counting down from five, like a rocket ship. So you're going to just start counting 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and on one, put your phone face down and turn it off face down and just leave it there. Then what you're going to do is you're going to go to your kitchen or your dog's dried food or whatever and take 5 pieces of food, treats or kibble or whatever it may be, and then get your dog's attention, show your dog you have a treat, and then just start training something. Doesn't matter what it is. It could just be like hand touches, some eye contact, maybe even toss a treat away and recall your dog back 5 of those. Doesn't matter what it is. Just get yourself doing something with your dog. Have a little break and then do another 5. And then you stop scrolling and you've trained your dog. Quite a good training session, because you've done 10 reps in total, 5 break and 5 of something that you should have been doing rather than scrolling on your phone. That would be really good actually for people to try, because how many people, and I know I do, but how many people get stuck just glued to their phone?
They're so addictive though, aren't they? I go through stages of being really bad at it, and then I just go off it completely.
And it's, they're probably watching people train their dogs.
Yes. Yeah.
Get off the phone, stop training your dog.
I know.
So even if you're having like a recall, you're like, oh, you know, I need to train something with my, you know, need to train something, but I don't know what to train. Just basically what you could do is you could just start doing something like take a piece of food, say, get it, toss a piece of food away from your dog, and then your dog comes away from you and just toss it away again. Something as simple as that, just to get your dog bouncing to you, bouncing away, bouncing to you, bouncing away.
Or the up and down game.
Oh, the up and down
game. Super simple. Everyone can do this.
1, 2, 3 game that we talked about last time, last week.
Yeah, exactly. They can do the 1, 2, 3 game. They can do the up and down game, which is just, they look at you.
Put a treat on the floor.
Yeah.
Dog looks back up at you. You mark that with a yes, then drop it again. It's basically you're teaching your dog that when it looks up at you, you're gonna get a treat, drop down again.
What she said.
I probably not explained it very well. I love the up and down game. You know what I use it for? A lot of people use it for like anxious dogs and stuff with reactivity. You can, because it's like a pattern game. The dog learns to go up and down with its head. But I like to teach eye contact with it. I really like to teach eye contact with it. It's just the easiest way to teach them eye contact. So yeah, because you can do so much with it. You can bring distractions in, you can add duration, you can add a cue for the look back up, and it's great.
Yeah, and it's so simple, so simple to start.
I think I'm going to send some of this episode to some of my clients, give them some, help them with some hacks.
Yes, that's a good idea. What's number 3?
Kettle training.
Oh yes, kettle
training. I don't know about you, but I drink quite a lot of coffee and tea. Especially when I'm working on client admin and notes and things like that and various things. As dog trainers, we do a hell of a lot of admin. I don't think people realise that. And I shouldn't, but I drink quite a lot of hot drinks throughout the day. So kettle training is basically, a lot of dog trainers will do this and they'll recommend this. So another hack for productivity, or, you know, basically fitting training in throughout the day, is do it while you're making a cup of tea or coffee. So what you would do is you'd have a pot of treats near the kettle. Okay. Every time you go and make yourself a drink, this is great for people who work from home. Every time you go and make yourself a drink, you would do some training with your dog. Now, if you're making a cup of tea, what you'd do is you'd put the kettle on, and while the kettle was boiling, you'd grab some treats, like 5-10 treats, do some training with your dog, hand targets or whatever you want to do. And then the kettle boils. You say, all done, we're finished. Have a little break. Pour the water in. When the tea is brewing, you repeat that and do another little training session. All done, finished. And you put the milk in and you can have a cup of tea, and you've literally just trained your dog at the same time. So it's really productive. For our American listeners, do not put the tea in the microwave. Well, if you are going to do that and your tea does go in the microwave, then while it's in the microwave, train your dog.
I didn't know people put tea in the microwave.
Americans do, apparently. It's how they make tea.
Do they not have kettles?
Don't think so. They have like coffee machines, coffee jugs or something, but no actual kettles to boil water.
Well, that's strange. Okay. So in that case, then it would be microwave training.
Microwave training, yeah. I mean, you can actually do this if you have a lot of TV dinners or you do a lot of microwave cooking, you can do the same. You know, stick your thing in while it's going around in the microwave. Well, you're waiting for the peeps, you're training your dog.
Like it.
Yeah, I know you do a bit of that as well, don't you?
I do.
And I've done a lot of that. In fact, here's a little story for you. So probably going to go over on time. Here's a little story for you. I've done a lot of training with Bo, my little Chihuahua mix, because as you probably know, she came to me with lots of issues and I've had to put a lot of time and energy into her. So Kiri, my Jack Russell, has kind of been left behind, let's say, a little bit in the training because I had to put so much energy and time into Bo, and she's really high maintenance. So I've realized that she doesn't really know that much in terms of like tricks and things. And I thought, well, as she's getting older, she's 14 now, let's get her brain working. Let's sort of ward off some of that potential canine cognitive disorder kind of thing, because that's also really good for old dogs, is to teaching them new things. So I thought, right, we're going to teach you a trick. And she didn't know middle, which is where the dog runs to you, goes between your legs and stays there in a sit or a stand or a down. So I thought, I'm going to do that. Every time I go and making myself a cup of tea or coffee, I'm going to train middle. And just literally doing that once or twice a day, we got quite far, actually. Now she knew middle. She didn't know it at all. So I can now ask her to come to me from the other side of the kitchen. She runs to me, goes between my legs. I can do a little dance. And this is all verbal. I don't show with my, this is all like, I just shout middle, and she comes running to me, goes between my legs. I do a little jig. I say break, and she breaks off or releases out of my legs. And then we've done all that through kettle training. So there we are.
That's really fun. Can we see a video of that?
Yeah. Yeah, and she actually thinks she really loves it as well. She really loves it. So now we're working on weaves. So now we're working on weaves while we're doing our kettle training. So, and I've taught Bo heel work exercises by doing that as well.
That's really cool.
So just quickly, like quick in the kitchen. And that the thing is, it's like with the book I'm reading, Atomic Habits, it's being consistent. It's doing little micro sessions that really just, if you're consistent, they just build up and build up, you know, into something that's quite big. As long as you're sort of following the, you're increasing your criteria, as it were, when you're training.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mostly want to see this video so I can see you doing your little dance.
You won't see that. I just do a little jig, because what I'm doing is I'm proofing the middle position. So I'll do like jazz hands or little jiggy around, or I'll move my legs side to side. We're kind of we're building up duration on the duration between my legs now, because she's got the middle, she knows what she's doing, and now we're going to make it really strong.
That wraps it up, doesn't it?
So everyone, now go and make yourselves a cup of tea or coffee and do some training.
The end.
Bye. If you've enjoyed this episode or you need any training or behaviour help, you can find us both at Kate at Carry On Canine, Hayley at Halo Pups, and you can find the posts for the podcast on our Facebook page, The Chihuahua Podcast. Please like, subscribe, follow, tell your friends, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.